So that's been priority for Plantium this month.
Great. And what's the, you know, do you have any news or timelines or anything on it or?
Well, not really. We've had to work full out on Go mostly this month because we've just because of budget issues, we had something to spend out, so he doesn't have as much time to spend on it. So what, I mean, I do you have specific time constraints on it? Is there a demo coming up or?
Well, we just, you know, I mean, it's an issue we'd like to see resolved, and I was just wondering, you know, if you had a prognosis or what.
I mean, ultimately, it's a feature I really want, but it's not something a lot of end, maybe Plantium end users are different. You know, you have more advanced end users, but it's if the end user here is more for kind of internal Plantium users, you can always browse things on the OLS beta at the moment, you know, which has some
Right,
browser.
but I mean, we'd like to be able to see our stuff on our own browser, of course. We use the OLS frequently. And so, like, it just seems strange to me that other ontologies, or I guess maybe Go is really the only other one using Amigo, is it?
There's a bunch, there's other ones like using the older Amigo, but most people will just use generic one because they don't have a lot of ontologies, don't have any data.
Right. So, Chris, I have one question I have is that even though those relations are not being displayed, there's it's still functioning in terms of the annotations flowing through them.
So that's the main reason we filter is because by default, we don't, you know, remember with the old Amigo, we just propagate everything that you put in.
Right.
Here, it's deliberately constrained. You control what relationships annotations are propagated over.
You mean that that's controlled in Amigo? We can't control it.
Yeah, you control it in your Amigo configuration.
Okay. So that could be set up. Do you know
Yeah,
what?
it's already set up correctly. It's probably.
It's already set up correctly. Okay. So that's something that you and Justin and Seth are can set up. So it might be worthwhile to review those, especially if we're adding new relations.
But in general, you don't want the, you know, for expression, it's really only is and part of. And for Go, it's is and part of and regulates. And for traits, it's is and part of. So it doesn't really, yeah, adding new ones won't really change the behavior with annotations much.
Yeah, so that's something we can review, and I don't think there's any other ones that it should go through in the PO. Have to kind of rethink about that for a minute, but yeah, so that's really helpful. So maybe I'll go ahead and share my screen here. Yeah, so Chris, you know, the other thing that we were planning to talk about, I think Elizabeth is on, and Marie-Angelique, are you on the call with Elizabeth?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay, great. So we're just talking with Chris a little bit.
Yeah.
So hi, everybody. Thanks for
Hi.
joining. Maybe we should go ahead and talk about the questions that we have about the equivalence axioms right now,
Go for it.
since you're here for just a short time at the beginning here.
If you want, Laurel, on GitHub, on the all the wiki that I started, I added a new page with all the TO patterns.
And where is that?
It's on GitHub on the IBP cross product repo.
Oh, on that one. Okay. Yeah, I can get to that quickly. My computer would cooperate.
No, it's not you, GitHub slow.
And you can go on wiki.
On the wiki, right.
And I,
This
yeah.
one? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, right now there's kind of a real mixture of uses of these relations. So we've been kind of going through these and reviewing them and trying to get them kind of straightened out and get some
One thing you could look at doing for documenting these is there's a YAML syntax. I can't remember if I got to this in the I think I touched briefly on this in the tutorial in Corvallis. And the nice thing about the YAML syntax is it's kind of computable and you can auto-generate documentation kind of like this as well. So this is great to start with. It's something we might want to explore in future.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, YAML syntax. Okay. So this is great. Thank you for putting this together, Marie. This is a summary of the situation the way they are right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Marie, maybe I'll let you, you want to go through and describe this once you put it together?
Yeah, I just went through all the design patterns that were on TO and I tried to just make some grouping and see if the patterns were consistent into a group. So, for example, if we look at content, we can see that there's three different patterns that I found in the file. And I didn't really understood where there's three different ones.
Yeah, so first of all, what does content actually mean in the TO?
Well, it means like the composition.
No, it means content. The name of the trait will be something like, I don't know, carbon content or...
Right, carbon content or, you know, like... the amount of a certain ion or mineral in a plant structure.
Yeah. So in that case, I think we should just go with the first two. And we do have to have two there because sometimes the location is unspecified. It might just be.
Yeah.
Even then we could make it consistent and always just say occurs in plant.
One plant.
Well, so when we were looking at occurs in, you know, the domain and range of occurs in looks like it should be used for a process.
No, it's process to component to material.
And so we don't really understand
the domain. Well, that doesn't fit with the current conception of PETA, but the way we have been starting to think about some of this is when you have a trait ontology, you're interested often in the changes in the trait over time with a kind of limit case where you're just looking at a particular instance in time. So let's, in the interest of time, let's just table that and move on and just accept that that's the pattern we're using there for now.
Yeah, but for us, it's just confusing.
What's that?
Yeah, to use occurs in... Yeah, I mean, that will be great if we can really understand the design patterns. So we will be able to add more and to replicate the same approach to all of the traits.
Yeah.
And I mean, and
yeah. Because we like to use occurs in, we have a bunch of these number of traits and we need to, it'd be handy if we could use occurs in, but I didn't think we could because it was specific to a process class.
Well, I think we have to think deeply about what, if we have a look at some of the other traits, maybe less so in the TO, but in many trait ontologies, they are about changes in traits over time. Can you think of any off the top of your head that you have for that? And it's simpler if we just use the same kind of patterns for everything. But this may require some kind of rethinking about what PETO actually represents.
Well, yeah, that's what we're trying to do. You know, we're trying to get some consistent patterns that we can follow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this one is for something like flower number, inflorescence number, branch number.
Yeah, and like, you know, leaf number in a shoot system. It'd be good if we could say like leaf number in here. So the inheres in shoot takes part in or occurs in some shoot system. So
because we were wondering if when you say number of something, if so this the is number of is really the quality of the part that you are counting, of if it's a quality of a bigger part.
See, yeah, because the quality of, like this is really the, like the root number is a quality of the root system. So this is wrong the way we have it here, but these are the ones we were trying to solve, some of the ones we were trying to solve this week. So really, this should probably be in here's in some root.
Okay, so the thing with the number of is originally with Peyto, we attempted to follow kind of like Buffo precisely.
Right. And
if you think about Peyto and Buffo terms, then number of is not then the actual counts aren't numbers that inheres in single things. Like having five fingers is not a quality of any one individual finger, and having zero fingers is not. So we went with this kind of like relational quality pattern, where it was inhered in, say, the whole hand, and it was towards some finger. And I really pushed for this pattern for a while, but it has certain limitations with kind of like reasoning. You often have to kind of like, it doesn't give you the answer you want, because really the thing that you're interested in there is the class finger. And you know, you can translate what I'm saying to kind of like number of petals in a flower.
Right, whatever. or leaves or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, so we have just switched in other ontologies to just keeping it simple and going back to the original Peyto, where we had a quality or quality-like thing, just called number, and it inheres in the thing that you're counting. Now, this is not strictly in keeping with the Buffo definition of inheres in, and we may end up actually using some other relation in future that we can just do a large kind of search and replace on everything at once. But it does keep it simpler if it's just a simple EQ where the Q is the thing, you know, the trait that you're measuring, it's the number of, and the E is the thing that you're talking about in the trait, even if it's not the thing that inheres in the strictly Buffo sense.
Mm-hmm. Right, but we have to specify. The problem is that we have different things that we're counting in the same like shoot system. So we might have leaf number, the number of leaves in the shoot system, the number of stems in the shoot system. So if we could put occurs in some pattern here, the number of inheres in leaf occurs in shoot system.
Right. But you have to understand what I just said to see the change in the pattern. So the way we were doing it before was it would adhere in the shoot system and it would be towards the leaf.
Yeah.
But now with a simpler pattern, it always inheres in the thing that you're counting or inheres in quotes.
Yeah.
And so then you just use whatever pattern that you use for specifying the larger context that you would use anywhere else. And if we're using, you know, and occurs in for that as well, then it's a straightforward design pattern throughout the whole ontology. It's just EQ. And then if there's an additional kind of larger locational context, you just put that in the additional variable, the occurs in.
But Chris, when you want to count, for example, the number of seed in a pod.
Yeah.
So how would you model that?
So in the new simpler way, it would be the Q would be amount, and the E would be a seed, and it would be occurs in pod.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It just seems like when you look at the domain and range of occurs, it says that it's...
Sure, yeah. So that's the same, just what we discussed before, whether we're talking about root numbers or for kind of like, for some of the other ones. So, but just accept it as a design pattern for now, and it's an ongoing discussion about the kind of nature of Peyto, and are the things here we're really talking about exactly qualities, or is it something that doesn't necessarily fit right into Buffo in the same way? Whatever way that discussion pans out, we should just be using the same relation, and we can just do a replacement after the fact if it turns out we want to.
Okay, so what you're saying is for now we can use the curves in.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Good. Well, that helps. So this pattern would be correct then, like root number.
Yeah, except that's mixing the old way of doing it and then you do it, because the old way has number of was one of these relational qualities that I originally introduced to make things conform to Buffo. And the way, if you're using has number of, then it inheres in the root system and it's towards some root. But we're not using relational, the simpler way, you don't use relational qualities. So anytime you see a relational quality like has number of, you wouldn't use that. You would just switch that to number or amount or whatever the quality is now.
Yeah, we really don't like that amount much.
Well, there's an open ticket on the Peter tracker about that. So
yeah.
Yeah.
You know, in the amount, it says that, it says recommend use has number of.
Right. But that's a terminological thing because at the end of the day, yes, sometimes there's a clear division between things that you can count and things that you can't, but it's mostly...
has number to me is much clearer.
Sure, but it's in a... Look at it in Peter, it's in a different branch.
And even, Chris, if you are using amount, I mean, there won't be any difference between a number and a content.
Well, you can't use amount for content because amount means the number of.
Yes.
That's why it's confusing. And so I've been trying to go through and like remove the amount from.
Yeah, don't.
Ones because I think those were put in by mistake.
No, but they weren't. They were deliberate. And okay, I appreciate that the label amount is not ideal for countable things, but that is the intended semantics. So
no, I'm saying yes, it works for the countable things, but not for like content.
Right.
It's on a lot of our content.
I'm gonna have to join my other call that I have every time this week.
Okay.
So okay, I hope we made a bit of progress there.
I think we did. Yeah, and we can continue this conversation.
Yeah. Okay.
At another time. Thanks a lot, Chris. Right.
Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, we have just kind of follow up on that. We have a whole list of content classes that are using amount, and I think you have a couple on your list here.
Yeah, and Chris just said that's the correct way to define.
No, content. not for the content ones though. For the number of ones.
At the beginning of the code, I say yes. You should be using the two first in content.
I'm sorry, someone's typing and I can't hear you. Maybe if you're typing, you could mute your mic. Thanks. Go ahead, Marie-Angelique.
Yeah, at the beginning of the call, I mean, Chris said that for content, the two first propositions were the patterns that we should be using.
Yeah, but I think he was talking about this part. We hadn't really gotten into this discussion. So we can come back to this. Because the Pareto definition for amount clearly is not content. It's, a number of.
So have you made a request for count separately?
Count is a synonym of amount.
No, we should ask for now. We should address, say that this is a concern, and we are requesting a new term, count.
Well, so let's George is on the call. Maybe he can comment on this.
I just joined in, so I didn't hear. I heard what Chris says, so she has to go for another call, but I didn't hear what you guys were discussing. So,
for example, if I say leaf number, it's a count of number of leaves, right?
Yes.
And if I convert it into Pareto term, it comes to amount, and that is not correct. Amount is a different thing. Amount is something which you can weigh or something like that, but rather than counting it.
But that's not how it's defined in Pareto. The amount term in Pareto is quite confusing because it actually means number of.
Yes.
Yeah, so no, I'll show it to you. I'm just pulling it up here. Just give me one sec here.
So the history is, this is because of BFO and people were, it's a mix up. It's not your fault. It's, you can use has number of, it's a tricky thing. And this is all because when BFO was introduced, everything sort of broke down. I do understand what you mean, Pankaj.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering, so this is, you see, it's a synonym with presence and absence and count and, all these terms were merged because of BFO, basically, where we try to use some patterns that are generic.
Mm-hmm.
So number of, I think, would be, I mean, no matter what you use, we can still take advantage of that. It doesn't really matter, but number of would be for the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Right, where you're counting something. See, it's a bit confusing because this has, I mean, Pankaj, you were just saying we should request a term count. And count is a synonym here. I mean, maybe would make more sense is to change this name to count. So see, and here they recommend
Well, if you see all of these,
what the reciprocal relation has number of, because that's that's what we've been using, because it's at least that's what we're trying to use, because it's I think it's clearer when you say has number of that you're counting something.
Yes, that's you see, there has all these ideas that you see, the alternative ideas are ideas count existed in the sense that Pankaj just mentioned, and we had to merge all this, and we kept one. It's a cleaner way because primarily it has to do when we integrate stuff. We want to use one term and we use it in the context that you are after. So I would use has number of. This is fine.
I agree. That's what we've been moving towards. Now, Chris just said that it's in a different branch.
Yeah, I think it's in, I put it under the quantitative branch, I think. Yes, it's on its own. It's what we use to represent relations, really.
And Chris just recommended to use amount for the number of something.
Yeah, if you use amount, we will get that. This is for the inference we're after. It works. Might not be ideal for the annotator, but it does work.
Yeah. So I think it works better for us, and so that's good. We kind of agree on it there.
Yeah.
Okay, and then we were just reviewing with Chris. we were talking about the formal definitions, equivalence axioms. So if you ignore the amount bit here, I think we're going to change. Well, those if they're counts, we use has number of. But we were discussing this inheres in and occurs in, and where to use those. And so, you know, my concern was with occurs in, technically it's supposed to be used for processes, but Chris said that that's all up for discussion and to go ahead and use it, and it would make things easier for us if we could use it in those cases. For example, we have some of these where we're trying to count the number of roots in some shoot system or root system. I mean,
but why do you think that this root number has to be associated with a root system?
Well, it has to be about the number.
Because the moment we say that it is inheres in root, that root is already defined as a part of root system or is a root system. So why do you have to extend that?
Well, because if you're counting some part, you know, if we're counting the roots, that's not a quality of the roots. That's a quality of, it's like what the example Marie said about the pod. You know, if you're counting the seeds in the pod, this is not a quality of the seeds that you're talking about. You're talking about a quality of the pod or the fruit, how many seeds it has. And we have lots of examples of this.
Right, but then you're also adding a method in this trait, because you can count number of seeds per pod, or you can count number of seeds per plant, or you can count seeds per kilogram or per hectare.
Right. I mean,
you're bringing in method here.
Well, I'm not bringing it in, but there's traits that are like seed number in the pod.
Yeah. So seed number should be the trait, and the pod would, I don't know, means I think at that point we are bringing in the method in it.
Well, I mean, this is the things that we're dealing with. This is the traits we're dealing with, and we're trying to capture that. Mm-hmm.
Sorry to interrupt you. Two things. One of them, first of all, can you just type in what Chris told you, what he said? So how he would replace this?
This is the pattern that I fixed this while we were talking with Chris.
Yeah, just Chris recommended to use amount instead of number of. What it say is before, when you were following BFO, he introduced the number of and inheres in root and towards some, I don't know, root system, for example.
But no, the other way around, it was the number, it inheres in the root system, but towards a root.
That's right. Yeah. No, it's, Elizabeth has right, has got it right. So these are relationships. So it's the root system that has a number of roots.
Right.
So if you use has number of, then the relationship would be inheres in the root system and towards some root. Okay. But I think what Chris wanted is he wants to simplify the and if you use amount, the amount can inhere in the root itself. So you can have amount and inheres in the root, And rather than towards, he probably suggests to use occurs in some root system. Is that what you said?
Yeah, like this.
We can work with both of them. I mean, we have different patterns. I mean, we can work with both. You're either going to have, you're either going to say has number of and inheres in some root system and towards some root, yes, or amount and inheres in the root and occurs. If Chris wants to use occurs, that's fine. We have to, we can deal with that. Basically, you know, all these relationships are only for inferences, for us to infer. And if it occurs, you know, towards, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it's, but sorry.
No, this is not for you guys. This is, there was some serious issues with BFO. And Barry, who is not on the call, unfortunately, he preferred the towards for BFO purposes. I don't know if they changed their mind. Occurs in, let me take it one notch back. So imagine concentration. Right. Let's say, I know that you want to deal with root number, but imagine concentration. Now you want to say that a solution or whatever, a mixer has an increase or has a specific concentration of salt, right?
Right, right.
Now, how do you define, this was the problem we were dealing with. How do we define increased concentration of X substance in a mixer? And the way we decided on this pattern, that's why we merged the terms. We tried to make it as simple as possible. So we say, we're either going to say we have an increased amount of X substance. So the increased amount will inhere in the X substance. And then we use a relationship towards some mixer, right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Or we can say has a number of molecules. So that would inhere in the molecule itself, according to BFO, and then we can have towards some mixer. So it's really BFO struggling to deal with these notions. And in order to simplify that, we merge all the terms with either has amount or has number as a reciprocal relationship. So whichever way you draw the definition, we can infer the same things. Am I making sense?
Yeah, I think so. So I have an example on the screen here of how a lot of the concentration classes are right now.
Yeah. So you are, instead of using towards here, you're using occurs. So you're saying iron concentration is a concentration that inheres in some iron.
Right.
And towards some, the whole plant. And that's...
Sure.
Now, whether you're going to say, actually, it's inheres in some...
I don't know if I would use the atoms here, but that's...
Well, iron atom is how Kebi... I don't know where you... Did you pick it from one of my... I think it's because Kebi calls it iron atom. That's fine. That's
okay. These are the ones that Chris created programmatically, so...
Okay, so his patterns probably pick up some of the old patterns. Iron atom is the term name that Kebi uses. It means iron.
Right.
That's the preferred name in Kebi, I believe.
Okay.
I think most of the time all these traits are assayed for ions, not for atoms.
Yeah.
And there are a few mistakes. I have a list of traits that are not using ion, or that are using ion instead of the atom.
Yeah.
So can Laura, can you check on Kebi? When it has iron.
I was just going to pull it up. We actually have Kebi on here now.
Okay.
We can go look. We have the full Kebi loaded now. So you want me to search for iron?
Zinc iron.
Which, okay, zinc.
Or do zinc iron, it doesn't matter here.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. So.
Ion. Can you type ion? I-O-N. There you go.
And now can you bring, just for my sake, can you bring the heart? I want to see.
Graph, please.
Yeah. So I understand.
Or the infer tree.
Yeah, the infer tree view. There's the tree. So it's an ion.
It's an ion. What is the relationship to zinc? That's better. Actually, I would use iron. So Chris parses a thing. Also, he's not a chemist, so we shouldn't really blame him. But zinc iron is a better term here rather than zinc.
Yeah, for the ones that occur as ions, that might be better. Let's go. Let's just go.
Well, all concentrations would be all the things that I saw in your list would be ions, I think.
We have iron, ion.
Yeah, you would, yes.
Yeah, or the atom.
Check in iron 3 plus and see what happens.
Yeah.
In the inferred view.
So yeah, it's an ion. It's a cation.
It's a cation, not an ion.
So this is inconsistent because zinc was also a cation, but there was a generic term for ion, right?
Yes. So
they should have iron ion. Obviously, it will always be a cation kind of thing. So there is, it is inconsistent in Kebby.
Yes.
Sometimes the zinc ion term was there, but iron ion was not there.
No, actually, if you look at it, it's a synonym. So that's fine. They have it as a synonym.
It is.
Yeah, if you look.
Iron.
Yeah.
No, it's iron is only there, but not iron ion.
Well, it says ferric ion, which is iron ion.
Yeah, but it says so, but if you
are... I know what you mean. I said it's not undeniable.
Can you ask... it's a request to them to get a niece, add a synonym, iron, iron.
So one thing that...
But the problem here is ferric and ferrous. So that's a problem. If you don't know which one are you talking about, then you should be going to the... What is that? Iron cation, that should have the synonym. Yeah, but there is no generic synonym iron ion.
So can I suggest something? And this is really for what we would be after. I mean, this is biology. Is there something that we can infer by using? Do we need Kebby? Do you envision that we can infer something from Kevin by using iron? I mean, if we go for the, you know, generic name, if we use iron, if we use zinc, so the upper level names, is that okay? Or do you think you might be really needing iron and specifying what is a cation and things like that?
No, I think we should just leave it as, because although the as, for example, we're connecting to the Kebby ion term, but if somebody's actually, it's a derivative actually, right? So somebody might say, I did the ferrous sulfate assay, but I'm just saying that based on that higher amount of ferrous sulfate, the iron concentration is high or iron composition is high. So he's not defining whether it's an ion or a ferrous sulfate or anything. They leave it at a very generic level. So, in essence, we are always looking at the ion concentration because even though we acid the salt, it's a direct indirect representative of the amount of ion that is available.
Yeah, I think getting back to your question there, George, I mean, the word we would have to use would be elemental, or not elemental zinc, but the molecular zinc molecular entity is their grouping term here.
That should be.
They don't actually have like just zinc, but I mean, zinc molecular entity encompasses all of these.
So is there an iron molecular entity?
Yeah, let's go look.
So, yes.
Yeah, there is one.
Elementary, if you go back, you could see the term that was there.
Was there. Didn't, my autofill is not working very well. So
molecular spelling.
Yeah, you missed a C there.
That would help. There we go.
That's one of them.
Doesn't Amigo know how to spell it? So we have iron molecular entity, and I'll show you the tribute. So that encompasses all these.
I think this is much better. So instead of going to ion, you can just say iron molecular entity.
So when I was defining MP, HPO, things like that, I always opted for these general entities for the reasons I think similar to what Pankaj was describing. Mm-hmm. And unless, I think that's a good guide, unless we think that there is something we can infer by specifying iron and cadmium and things like that, which I don't think there will be much. Mm-hmm. Going for the upper level entity, so the group term, if you like, it's right. Much better.
I kind of agree because mm-hmm. Kevi's quite complicated, mm-hmm. and yep. the average, you know, curator or biologist that looks at it, they might not know the difference between all these different.
And we don't know exactly what they are assaying. Right. So we don't want to go for
have a specific detail. Information that they're mm-hmm. using a specific
yep.
entity. Then maybe the upper level one is better.
That
okay.
would be a method anyway, right?
Yeah, that would come into the method.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible that the TO level stays at iron molecular entity, and then CO instance could be iron hydride or iron oxide or iron sulfide.
Depending what's measured, yeah. Okay, well, I think we got a little bit sidetracked, but that's a good conversation to have, you know, about these the concentration classes. But so, George, from your feeling that this... ignoring the zinc atom here, you're mm-hmm. feeling that of this description of the concentrations works okay?
Yes, that's absolutely fine. I mean, what you will see in MP, and we, you know, we might change it, or Chris might already have said, I don't know. Occur, rather on kerosene, you will see towards, but it's the same thing. The principle is the same. So for us, you know, when we do the integration and we go and we infer across all the ontologies together, these patterns work, and if it's a curse of the words, it doesn't matter much.
Okay. And I think that this actually should be a side point here is that this actually should be plant structure, not whole plant. But that's a technicality that we'll fix. And, you know, unless they're saying that it's the zinc concentration in the whole plant, but plant structure is the higher level that includes whole plant. And that way this zinc concentration term could be used for any plant structure, not just whole plants. You see, some of these actually are, I think there are some on my list that are plant structures like flavonoid. Oh, this is content. Anyway, but what we're trying to sort out right now is, you know, how to deal with these equivalence axioms. Yeah. And so we've got, these are all different occurrences of
These all patterns that you have here
are
fine.
Okay.
Now, if it's whole plant or structure, I'm not sure how you distinguish. I mean, I'm happy if you say that TO, you know, you know TO much better than I do.
This is actually PO, but that's okay.
Sorry, PO. Yes. So if you're saying that it needs to be plant structure is a superclass of whole plant or subclass.
Yes. Plant structure encompasses any plant structure, including whole plants, which are a plant structure, which is a whole plant. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's a minor technicality that we can fix very easily, but we're kind of trying to sort out the equivalence axiom patterns here. So
these were created by Chris, right? Or automatically somehow?
Yeah, he put them in. He generated them programmatically and stuck them in. Yeah, these aren't ones. So, but we're kind of going through and reviewing them.
You know, I'm sort of scanning as you go up and down. They are consistent. So, one of the main things, and this goes across. You know, being consistent is more important actually than making mistake in the pattern. If you see what I mean.
Yes.
Because if consistent. We can fix it, or we can take advantage of that anyway, right? If we know what you mean, that's fine. I mean, we can automatically fix it if it needs to be fixed. In this case, I don't see anything that is that I would say stands out. Everything looks fine.
You know, the one question I have, George, is these are all content classes. This first one, and you see, in some cases, it's amount,
mm-hmm.
and in some cases, it's composition. And I'd like to actually move these all to be composition because amount, you know, as we've just finished talking about, amount is like a count of something. But the thing is, composition is in a different branch of PADO. It's actually in the morphology branch. And this is actually a point that Barry brought up 2 weeks ago when we were talking about amount and content. And he was saying that maybe this composition should be a class in the morphology branch of the specific structure.
Okay, so the reason I put it there is I don't know if I was present when Barry was describing that. I can't remember that.
Yeah,
but,
I don't know if
in essence, he's saying that the same thing that Pater does. So why I put it there is that, you know, if you imagine that you have an increased content of something, that necessarily affects this, the morphology of the entity that this thing is present on. So I think that it belongs, composition belongs to be under the morphology. And I would actually prefer if you use composition, but if you use amount.
Yeah, I don't want to use amount. I want to use composition.
You know, I think what when Chris was passing it, I don't know, if he did it automatically,
I disagree.
Added a long time ago.
I don't know, but I disagree with composition going into the morphology.
You want it outside of the morphology?
Yes.
Why? Where would you? You think it should be in this biochemical class?
It can be, but depending on it. Well, let's say if I'm saying this, what is the chemical composition of the cytoplasm in the algae cell, right? So that is very different. You're looking at an amalgamation or overall. So first you detect all the contents, and then you consider that what is the composition of it. So its composition is a very broader level thing. So it's not a morphology or
according to Pato, it is.
I agree,
the way you're looking at it isn't. But I'm just saying, if we're trying to use these Pato terms and follow Pato.
Yeah.
Well. Hold on.
So for example,
sorry, Pankaj. I want to simplify things. Pato is just my way of viewing the world. It doesn't mean that it's the correct way. So because Pato says so, I'm happy to say that I'm wrong. I just need to understand how would you use it differently, and what would we gain by moving it somewhere else? That's all I need to know.
So if we put this composition as a physical object quality, that is a quality composite quality of a physical object, that is fine. For example, if you're in an apple industry or a strawberry industry, you might look for the composition of a jam or a jelly or a juice, right? And that would differ from variety to variety, depending on the sugar, protein, pectin, fiber, and all sorts of contents vary, and that would change the composition of the whole entity that you're looking at. And that is definitely not a morphology or structure related thing. It is a property of any composition or composite of any physical object that you're measuring.
So you're arguing that it should be a direct child of physical object quality?
Yes.
We could open an issue tracker request,
George. Yes, we can, but this is the point will not be solved unless we discuss this.
Right, so, I know.
So if you look at the definition of composition, right, I'm talking about a thing that has certain quantities or ratios of sub parts of the thing, right, itself.
If it is the thing, then it is you're using a concentration. Or a content. You're not a composition then at that point in time. Composition is a composite. Composite means it's a mix of a couple of things.
Okay. I think you want a new term then.
What is the definition of composition?
And see, content is actually what it's right here on the screen. Can you see?
You can see it in the screen. Forget about the BFO crap, bear and all that. Basically, it says it's a quality of the thing, of the entity, as far as the quantities that are part of that entity are concerned. That's what it says.
Yeah.
Sorry about the BFO definitions. Barry's not on the call, so I can be...
That's all right. We're getting used to them.
Yes.
So the bearer is the entity that you're measuring it in, like leaf composition. So the leaf is the bearer here.
Yeah, the bearer is the main entity, if you like. Yeah, sorry, this is BFO stuff. I'm sorry.
Or is the bearer the, you know, like the ions that you're measuring? Because it says the bearer's quantities.
Yes, so the things that are part of the bearer, part of the entity. So if you're talking about the bone, the calcium molecules are a part of the bone.
Right, and so the bone is...
But would you use a bone composition?
Yeah, you could say that. And then you talk...
Right? Or for example, you can have a blood plasma composition. It's a mix of lots of other stuff.
So what would be the blood plasma composition?
That's why, unless you call blood plasma is a structure, blood plasma is not a structure. It's not a morphology.
Well, the blood plasma could be the entity, though. I mean, I don't know if that's...
That's what I'm saying. It's a physical, it's a physical object, but it's not a morphology structure.
But still, I'm not convinced. I need an example. At the moment, it works similar to concentration. Actually, if you unclick the term, I presume concentration will be underneath that.
No, here's I will give you. What is the composition of a leaf extract?
But the composition of the leaf extract surely is a result of this, the parts.
Leaf extract is not part of the leaf now anymore. It's gone.
Pankaj, please don't be Barry.
No, it is. But remember, that composition has nothing to do with the morphology. That's what I'm saying. It's.
Hold on.
Let's look at the definition of morphology here.
But what? No, I think.
Here you go. Another example.
It goes to structure.
I'll give you an example. There is a lot of water and nutrients and ions and carbohydrates are, let's say water and nutrients are absorbed from the soil, concentrated in the xylem sap, and then that xylem sap runs in the xylem cells, and those are nothing but dead hollow cells that is that flows in the xylem sap from root to the tip of the plant. If I extract that xylem sap and I'm looking at the chemical composition of that xylem sap, that is not a structural property of that xylem cell.
But it's the same argument with the blood running through your veins and the veins themselves.
Absolutely.
So this term is not meant to replace what you're after.
But remember, we are looking at the chemical composition, and that the word chemical is an entity, composition is your Pareto quality that we are looking at, and that this composition is not a morphology or structure related thing.
But when you define, you would never you might have a use case here where, and if we make it concrete, I think we'll find the solution. But just to go to your example, if I want to talk about the composition of the blood that runs through my vein, right?
Yeah.
I would not define the vein as having blood as part of it.
Right.
Blood, the entities as part of it. Yeah. I would blood as the entity that the composition inheres in, and then I would say that a composition that inheres in blood towards some iron. So the iron composition of the blood, so the concentration essence of the iron in the blood plasma, for example.
But you would use iron concentration or iron ion concentration or hemoglobin concentration, but you would not use blood composition. It's an indirect evaluation of the composition of the blood. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. And I will try. I mean, there are two answers here. If you were Barry, I would answer completely different, because there are philosophical arguments with what you say. It's the clay and the statue and so on. But let's look at it from a practical point of view. What we want to say is that there is something, in our case, this is blood, right? Running through some veins, so it's venous blood rather than arterial blood.
Right.
And that blood has some iron concentration that I want to measure.
Yes.
So how would define that? It would be blood that runs through veins So I can have a part of relationship or whatever.
It would be blood. Here's what I would give. It's a venous blood plasma composition.
Excellent. So that would be a quality of composition or a concentration or composition. Let's use a general term of the blood.
Quality of the blood that is inherited or occurs in vein blood.
Exactly. Yes. So we are on the same page. So this is how this term is used. So you have, this is a relational quality. You use the inheritin, the BF1 inheritin, towards the plasma and towards or occurs in as the new relationship that you are introducing now, which is fine. Occurs, actually, it will be the other way around. It will be occurs in blood plasma towards some iron.
Yeah, but it doesn't, definitely does not fall under structure over here. That's my problem.
I think that's what Pankaj is arguing about, is whether composition should be part of structure.
No. Amylose composition, for example, what we are looking at is not a structure.
Especially not a morphology.
It may contribute to structure, but in a difference at a molecular level, a structure of a polymer rather than a structure of a morphology.
To me, I mean, I can make the argument that it is, but I don't care so much about making the argument. If we need to move composition outside and make it assimilate to morphology, I have no problem. The only issue is that in most cases, actually, the composition does make up the structure and it does make the morphology. So the calcium concentration of your bones actually makes up the structure of your bone, which makes up the morphology of your bones. So in most cases, if not all, there is a relationship. But I don't think Tato necessarily needs to draw on that relationship. Or I cannot think of... Actually, we will lose inference. We will lose inference if we do that.
No, for example, you have fatty. Fatty liver. That's a different thing. Let's say if you're looking at a cholesterol concentration, somebody comes up with your blood cholesterol levels, right?
Yeah.
Or your cellular cholesterol levels, or composition. It could be HDL and VDL and LDLs. That is not a structure thing.
Absolutely. Can you search for concentration, Laura? It shouldn't be a composition. I agree, Pankaj. This is quite right. Concentration off, there you go. Just click on it. You see, that's a molecular
quality.
I have it in another complete. I agree with what you said, and concentration does not make up composition. It doesn't make up the physical quality of morphology, and that's why I put it there. So I agree with you on that one.
That is okay, but what is? But if I'm looking at concentration is fine because you're defining it grams or picograms or milligrams per gram of blood or per ml of blood, that is absolutely fine. But if I say by ratio 4:3, I found your HDL was high, that is a composition. It's not a concentration at that level.
Well, that's semantics. And I'm going to tell you why that's semantics. It depends how, I mean, I'm happy to have a term. I mean, if you want us to change composition to something else, and then you come up with a term for what I'm using composition for, I'm happy to replace it and create a composition outside. But concentration, if you look at how I define it, it's a quality which comes to the substance itself by virtue of the amount of the bearer. So it comes from the stuff that there is in there, which
right.
means ratio, which is what you want.
For the iron atom, I'm pointing at the screen, but you can't see me. So this is where, if we're measuring just the iron atom in that. But the composition term is more the entity is the plant structure, like the composition of the leaf. So I think concentration is okay, and I.
This is fine here.
Yeah.
My only concern was this composition going under structure.
I think it's because you use composition. You mean something else by it, which I'm happy. But I need to. There is a composition in the manner that I define it in Pato. I think we all agree with that. So the composition of your bones, the calcium atoms make part of your bone. That's composition of the bone. I hope we agree.
Yeah,
don't I don't care about the semantics. What we call composition, it's X quality. that it's there. Now, for what Pankaj wants, if we come up with something that...
So, yeah, that here's, for example, composition of your bone or composition of your skeleton.
Yeah.
And that determines whether it is more cartilaginous or more bonification or calcification kind of things. So your bone and cartilage are already part of structure. So that already defines, but composition defined, putting composition directly under structure. Your structure is defined by, whether it is a composition of a structure is defined by the entity that you're entity for which you're looking at the quality for.
Absolutely. That's why it's
there's the composition. That's what I'm saying. The composition is independent. It's a physical object quality, and it can be associated to a structure. It can be associated to a chemical composition or a certain ingredients and elements and whatever you can call it. It's not directly under structure. That's my only problem was. If you say cartilaginous, for example, so it's a tendency to have more amount of composition of a skeletal structure that is more cartilaginous and less of calcification over there. Right?
That's right. Yes.
Right. Exactly. So that means a bone and cartilage are already part of structure, and that then you don't have to put this composition under structure. Composition is a quality, is a physical object quality of a bone.
But look at my argument. And the argument, the only reason I'm arguing here is primarily because we infer stuff based on that. If your composition changes, then your structure changes.
But the problem here is your cartilaginous thing, you're defining your morphological quality based on structure. But you already know that cartilage is a structure. So why do we have to put the
quality? You know that. The reasoner doesn't know that.
And I think, Pankaj, you're thinking of structure in terms of an entity, whereas this structure is it's the same word, but this is actually a quality. It's not
okay. It's a quality. It's a quality of a thing. All of these are qualities, right?
Yeah. And I think, Pankaj, you're thinking like plant structure.
No.
I'm not saying that this is a plant, a structure. It's saying that structure is a quality. So it's the same word, but it's...
No, the way I read this hierarchy is that composition is a structure quality, right? And
yes.
Structure is a morphology quality, which is fine. But composition is a structure quality is wrong. That's what I'm saying. It's a physical object quality.
So if for example, you have more cartilage in your composition, if whatever you want to call it, doesn't that affect your structure?
Based on the entity which you annotated it.
But of course, these are all qualities. They have to be based on the entity.
Right.
What you're trying to do is you're putting you're hard coding your quality under a defined hierarchy here, right? Why do you have to say that your skeletal structure, the composition of your skeletal structure is a structure quality here?
Because if, for example, you were searching for abnormalities of the bone, and somebody says that you have more cartilage in your bone based on X-ray, then I would know that this is an abnormal morphology and I can classify it as such.
But why can't you read it? Because your bone is already a part of structure, then that means it is a quality of a physical object.
I agree, that's right. You're right. But we could only do that if FMA, PO, all the anatomies actually have these qualities, which they don't. This could be flattened. I agree with the notion you're arguing for, if the anatomies had already qualities in them, so we can infer that. At the moment, they don't.
Of course. Your cartilage will be part of this. Or is a skeleton structure, and then the skeleton structure is already is a structure in anatomy defined. So you bring that argument from that side, not defining it in the paedo. Try to keep flatten out the paedo as much as possible, rather than putting it into a thing.
So what you're suggesting, Pankaj, is that you think the composition would be better directly under morphology?
No, directly under a physical object, top level. You define whether this is a quality of a morphological structure or a chemical structure or a non-defined structure is based on where which entity you are associating this composition with. You use the other tree, not this tree, for defining your structure association. That's my argument, but it's up to you guys. Plant people would never expect xylem sap to be a structure or morphology quality. Composition of a xylem sap, composition of a phloem sap is not a morphology or structure quality.
Yeah, I can see that.
Liquid.
Everybody's silent.
Well, I mean, xylem sap is a plant structure. No, actually, I'm wrong. It's a plant entity, but it's not a plant structure. You're right.
You have, for example, composition of a raisin or a composition of amber. That is not a physical, that is a physical object quality of a chemical entity, raisin or an amber, but it's not a morphology.
What's the word you use? Raisin?
Yeah, a raisin or a rubber. Rubber is...
A raisin is just a dried raisin. Grape. Raisin. Oh, resin.
No. Raisin is some exudate that you injure.
No, that's not the word you were using. So the question, this term morphology, is this specific to, you know, specific to structures?
Well, structures are some part of it.
Well, that's quality structure.
So same way would be like, what is the composition of your cytosol? Is definitely not a morphology structure.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there. And in terms of the TO, it actually would work, yeah. Having it under physical object quality. It would actually work better.
Yeah.
Because of the way that we've kind of built I don't want to use the word morphology, but the way that we've built those classes in the TO.
Yeah, that's what I think we went away from the term called morphology. Everything is gross anatomy.
Yeah. So, Marie-Angelique, do you want to make any comment here? You've been kind of quiet. I'm sorry if we've gotten off on a tangent.
No. I mean, for me, it's fine if it's under morphology. I mean, if we are in plants,
I don't.
It's fine. But I agree, if we are talking about the environment, maybe this term is not.
So, I mean, what would you say in terms of the case that Pankaj presented with the xylem sap, the composition of the xylem sap? That probably wouldn't work under morphology.
I'm back. I don't know if you can hear me.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. To be honest, I don't know.
So, George, were you hearing my argument?
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
So if I'm looking at if I'm assaying the cytosol composition, okay. Do you consider cytosol composition is a morphological trait, morphological quality?
So, I think yes, you can make the argument that it gives the morphology.
No, cytosol does not give a morphology. Sorry.
Why?
Cytosol.
Why it doesn't have a morphology?
Cytosol is a liquid that's flowing inside the cell.
And why it's not on a morphology? I know what cytosol is, but why is that? Doesn't it have a morphology?
I don't know. It's. I've never thought about it as a morphology.
Yeah. The point is, I'm not trying to make you philosophical arguments. It does. Everything has a morphology, but it doesn't matter. What I'm saying is that cytosol. You can, if you talk about the different stuff that are part of the cytosol, that gives rise to its structure. It's the thing that makes it.
That is cytoplasm.
Sorry?
That is cytoplasm.
Cytoplasm, cytosol is part of the cytoplasm, right?
So yeah.
But cytosol itself can have a concentration and it can have things that make it up. Like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
morphology would be And you know, this is the argument we kind of had this discussion with Barry too about morphology.
So, and the reason what I'm saying is that because I'm looking at it from the perspective of what is the chemical composition. I'm not looking at it from the perspective of, so I'm looking at a chemical quality, not a, a structural quality here. Okay. And that, that is what is making a problem here. We are measuring the trait as a chemical quality, not as a structural quality.
Well, but in your example, so chemical composition, how is that different from concentration?
Because the concentration, you always define it for an individual entity. For example, you would look for sodium and potassium ion or zinc ion or calcium ion. If you have to measure for show me all the positive ions in it, that is a different thing. It's a very generic thing. You're not defining it that way. That's a very thing. That if I'm looking at, for example, viscosity of the cytoplasm changes because of depending on the amount of sugars in it. That is a different thing.
So basically, when you wanted to refer to the things that are part of something.
Yeah, it's a thing composed of various elements, not just single. If it was single element, then I would be happy to use the concentration. But if it's not a single element, single thing. It becomes much. You're just looking at the composition. Composition can be based on a ratio or not necessarily a concentration at that level.
Can you click on composition, please, Laura? Mm-hmm. Let me see the definition one more time. Okay.
This is composition.
This would cover. Of course, this definition covers what you're after, Pankaj. But
again, there is a problem here. Again, composition is under structure. That is a bigger problem now.
Oh, it was like that before.
Sorry. I was confused with the concentration. So, no, this is okay. Composition, that's what I'm saying. It is. I'm not looking at composition as a structural property. I'm looking at composition as a chemical quality. But I agree with your other example, which is cartilaginous.
Yeah.
They looked at the density on an X-ray graph, X-ray picture, and they think that this tissue is more cartilaginous and it's less.
You know what I think? I think the problem is this structure term. Because how is this structure term different than morphology? Let me just move this out of the way. Let's look at morphology. Okay, so morphology is defined as bearer size, shape, or structure.
Yeah.
And then under morphology is size, shape, and structure, but also texture and all these other things.
Yeah. No, I'm trying. I think we need to refer to a composition of that relates to structure. This could become structural composition, which is fine. Pankaj, if we had structural composition and composition as another term that would be outside of morphology, it would be a sibling to morphology. Would that cover what we're discussing? I think it would, right?
Yeah. Generic composition term stays outside of the morphology thing.
Yes, and then we rename the current composition term, which actually is a structural composition term. It refers to the things that make up an entity. That's how we use it here. So composition, Laura, can you click on composition?
Yes.
Please? And then, yes, expand it a bit.
Yep.
So how we use it here is really, although mixed is horrible, a mixed, I think somebody requests. So I'm thinking whether we should have a generic term like Pankaj suggests of composition, and we rename that term to structural composition.
That actually would work better. I like that structure.
That would be fine. And for example, then amylose composition can just go somewhere. So you can always have a chemical and you can have a generic composition. Underneath that, you can have a structural composition and chemical composition. I don't mind that.
Yeah.
And amylose composition is a child of chemical composition.
Yeah, the biochemical composition or something. Yeah.
Yeah, glutinous, non-glutinous, it is fine.
And I don't mean to sidetrack things, but you know, I really think this needs to be looked at, this structure term. But that's maybe for a different discussion.
I don't know where your structure ends, George. You have glutinous and non-glutinous things under amylose thing, and those are all associated with the structure of the starch molecule. So I don't know where the definition of structure start and where it ends.
Because I'm here, but
it's a fair comment.
Yeah.
It can be a structure of a polymer, or it can be a structure of.
I agree. I think.
It could be anatomical structure or a molecular structure or whatever you want.
Yeah.
Or a chemical structure.
I think
we should go with this idea of moving composition, having it as a genetic and having structure composition. That's fine. Please keep you. This will not change. Actually, we will not alter anything from what you guys are doing. It will be the inference we gain or lose with that. But I agree, we need to have a sibling to morphology for composition. Okay, no, I'm happy with that.
Yeah. Okay, so I think we need to kind of wrap up this discussion. We're past the hour. I really appreciate everybody's valuable input today. Marie and Elizabeth, do you guys have other things that you needed to talk about today?
So Elizabeth had to leave, unfortunately.
Okay.
Elizabeth just texted me before. She wanted to ask me something. Do you know what that is?
No, I don't know. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's all right.
It's probably about the workshop in Montpellier, but I'm not sure.
No. We discussed that. It was more, she wanted something about the definitions that you guys were doing, and I thought you might know. That's why I asked.
No, I don't know.
Okay, that's fine. I'll catch up with you.
Okay. Yeah, and so I know the one thing that we wanted to show Pankaj before we hang up here is we've been working on adding the species names, as you requested.
Yes.
An example here for the cassava.
Good.
So Marie Angelique created a special file with the ontology and inserted the species name in front of all of the traits.
So if we search for plantite, then we should be able to see lentil plantite and cassava.
Yeah, except they may not all have that term. Last night I was looking for a common term that would make a nice illustration of this, but I think maybe plant height has got two of them anyway. So if we go to plant height and we go to the
infertility,
yeah. So we have cassava plant height, we have lentil plant height. Right. Oh, we have rice plant height. So that one works. Yeah.
Okay. So here's that's perfect. So but make sure that all your names except for species name is
yeah, like rice
capitalization. So rice plant height is.
Yeah, because I didn't change the previous name. Yeah, okay, I can change that. No problem.
You're saying it should be small case.
If things are in lowercase and in CO, then it will automatically
work.
Yes. Yes.
And cassava should be lowercase as well.
Do you think so? Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's not a Latin name. Yeah. And that's the other question is, I mean, do we want to use the common name?
I think so.
You think for the viewers, the users, that would be better? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and so we don't have the species name, so.
You don't have what?
The name of the species.
Right.
We have only the common name. We don't have the scientific names. So.
Right. Yeah, the more you go to the species thing, then it starts creating problems.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
I think for users, having the common name is nice. So. Yeah, so this is an improvement. And the next thing we're going to work on is removing the categorical. So, but this is an improvement. I really appreciate your work on this, Marie. So, okay. Hi, Justin. You're just joining in. You're very serious. Okay, well, I think we should wrap up there.
And just Laurel, do we want to discuss the Erie visit or not?
We could, or we could do that in a separate call. I don't know.
I'm okay staying for a short while, so go ahead.
Okay. It's just getting kind of noisy in here. I might just shut the door. Could you grab that?
Yeah.
Yeah, people start coming into the office and stuff. So let's go ahead and talk about that fairly quickly.
Yeah, it's just that we will be with Leo in Erie the week of the 7th of March.
Right.
To mainly work on the traditionary and to see which kind of data they have and what can be used in Planteum. So, yeah, that's all. I mean, and we would like to know if Austin is planning to come as well, or?
Yes.
Yeah, so, and if you need any contact or any help, I can give you the email of our assistant. So maybe, yeah, so it will be maybe convenient for you, Austin, to have details for the accommodation and, you know, I mean, logistics.
Yeah.
I think there should be, all the messages should be of whoever, Austin from our end, and from who's planning from your end?
Leo and I.
Yes, so all three of you should be coordinating together with that person instead of each individual doing it differently. So all three of you copy everybody, whoever is your contact over there, this is Mao, then he should be getting information together rather than separately.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Since we have the news that the week in March was okay, I mean, we didn't have any email exchange. So yeah, but for the next email that we will send around, I mean, we will add Austin, no problem.
Yeah, good. Thanks. Yeah, sounds good. Okay. Who was it?
Go ahead. George, you can call me on the Skype.
Okay, all right.
Just Pankaj, do you have any updates about the status of the second year?
No, I don't have any updates so far.
And do you know when we can expect to have some?
I have no idea. I will send an email to the NSF program manager.
Okay, because biodiversity is quite,
I heard that from Elizabeth, so I will send an email, and I have some things to talk to the NSF anyhow with George's group, so I will get in touch with them.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, good. All right, I'm going to wrap it up here.
Okay.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, bye, George. Bye. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
I guess I can't turn off the recording there. Stop share.